Saturday at 11:30. So please join us then. Goodbye.
The programme was presented by Kate Adie and produced by Jane Beresford. And there's much more about the programme on the From Our Own Correspondent web pages, where you can read scripts, see photographs and find out about subscribing to the podcast. Up the junction in Clapham, Jonathan Maitland talks squeeze man Chris Difford into singing on the famous junction platform. But first, a word from Winifred Robinson about today's You and Yours.
We'll be talking about the standard of nursing care. The Royal College of Nursing Chief Executive, Peter Carter, has said nurses spend too long in the classroom and not enough time on the wards, and that's why some of them are incapable of caring for patients properly. He's on the programme. We would welcome your experiences. Email us, please. We'll also hear the latest from the inquiry looking into what happened at Stafford General Hospital, where there was a catastrophic failure to look after patients properly.
That's all with Winifred Robinson in You and Yours at 4 minutes past 12. Thanks, Winifred. And now the first in a new series called Lyrical Journey, which explores the relationship between much-loved songs and the places which inspired them. In this programme, the presenter, Jonathan Maitland, who's a passionate squeeze fan, meets the band's lyricist, Chris Difford, and takes him back to Clapham Junction, which features in the 1979 hit Up the Junction. So how far has that part of South London changed since he wrote the song? Who else is it inspired? And how does Chris feel about doing a special performance on the station itself?
This is Clapham Junction. This train is for London Waterloo.
I never thought it would happen with me and a girl from Clapham.
Out on the windy common, that night I ain't forgotten.
When she did out of rations with some or other passions, I said, you are a lady. Perhaps she said, I may be.
We moved into a basement with thoughts of
a Clapham Junction.
I pass through here, Clapham Junction that is, all the time, as do millions of others. It's one of the busiest stations in Europe. And whenever I do, one song in particular clicks into place on the jukebox in my mind. Up the Junction by Squeeze, which sold 500,000 in 1979 and got to number two, has a tune and a story you can't help but associate with this place. It's a life in 3 minutes, 6 seconds. The hero falls in love on Clapham Common, gets his girl pregnant, struggles to support her, hits the bottle and then gets dumped for a soldier. By the end, he's literally and metaphorically up the junction, which is where I started this lyrical journey, just by the station, in fact, in a black cab with the song's lyricist, Chris Difford.
So you wrote a song which is forever going to be identified with Clapham Junction, and actually you hadn't hung around here much.
No, but I just imagined in my mind that it would be much like Greenwich, where it was originally conceived. Although, having said that, it was actually completed and written in a motel 10 miles outside of New Orleans by a huge industrial estate, oil burning place, which was disgusting. And it was in the days when Squeeze went off and did tours all around America, and we had a day off and we didn't know what to do with ourselves, so I gave Glenn this lyric that I'd had sort of lurking around in the back of my notepad. And Glenn sat in the motel room and came up with this wonderful tune.
And when you were thinking Up the Junction, I mean, what were you visualising? Were you visualising something like Greenwich, Deptford, where you came from, or...?
Well, I visualised these kind of small houses, sort of pre-war houses, I guess, with working-class people living in them. But more than that, I envisaged the two characters living in a small flat, really, in a sort of masonette kind of flat.
We moved into a basement with thoughts of our engagement. We stayed in by the telly, although the room was smelly.
Of course, things changed a lot. Moving into a basement with thoughts of your engagement.
Yeah.
Then, back in the 60s, 70s, a basement around here would have cost around, I don't know, probably would have got change from £1,000.
I know.
Now, you wouldn't get change from $250,000.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Is that a source of regret to you, the kind of...
That I didn't buy one.
I got a job with Stanley, he said I'd come in handy.
is it about the travails of a bloke who moves into a basement and then his girlfriend leaves him?
Yeah.
Presumably it's girlfriend and not wife.
Yeah.
And he's surrounded by smelly nappies and he ends up drinking too much. What is it that resonates around the world?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it, other than to say that it's a bit of a postcard, I suppose. I think in America in particular, I noticed when I first went to tour there in 1979 that they adored the Kinks. And I thought, well, how do they adore the Kinks? You know, it's a very, very London, British thing, you know. But it's like having postcards of England, or London, if you like. And I think that's how it attaches itself to the hearts of so many Americans.
And out of the left of the cab, Chris.
Yes, I can
see. Do you know what that is?
It's Clapham Common.
As in, out on the windy common.
Out on the windy common.
That night, I had forgotten.
Yeah.
As a matter of interest, did you choose Clapham just because it rhymed?
Well, it could have been Balham. Yes.
I never thought it would happen with me and the girl from Balham.
Lewisham.
Well, Balham, it scans. Balham scans, doesn't
Balham
it?
Balham scans, and it would...
But Clapham is more poetic.
World, Clapham's more poetic, and also it's got a windy common, and Balham doesn't. And, you know, Woolwich just wouldn't have sounded very sexy. Yeah. Clapham's a sexy sound, if you ask me. Cats and dogs out there.
We are now looking out onto the windy common, or rather the completely waterlogged common.
I know that lots of lovers come up here to snog. I do like that word, snog. I think snog I'm going to try and get into a new song, actually. Yeah, I'm going to get that into a new song.
About the man on the Clapham omnibus?
Tell me about that.
Well, I was a law student and there was this concept called the reasonable man. The reasonable man was the yardstick by which all cases were judged. What would the reasonable man do in this situation?
Ah.
And someone said to the judge, well, what's the definition of the reasonable man? And he said, he's the man on the Clapham omnibus.
Ah.
Quite possibly, the bloke in Up the Junction is the man on the Clapham omnibus, i.e. every man, for whom it's gone wrong.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And you know, I used to, and still do sometimes, attend Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's full of people that were on that bus and in this song.
Alone here in the kitchen, I feel there's something missing. I beg for some forgiveness, but begging's not my business.
It is an incredibly English song, isn't it?
Yes, I love English songs. I love them. And I was born and raised on songs about London and England, obviously with the Kinks, the Small Faces, and David Bowie, who one of his songs that I cover all the time is a song called London Boys. And you know, it seemed there was a period in the 60s when, before people had major record deals, that they would write about what was going on in their town. And Donovan, for instance, wrote a fantastic song called Sunny Good Street. Nick Drake wrote a song called Mayfair, which is brilliant. And David Bowie, London Boys. And from that, it inspired me to start a programme called Songs in the Key of London, which I recorded for the first time last year at the Barbican. You know, and you talk about people like Tommy Trinder and Tommy Steele, people like that. They used to go on stage and sing songs about their local life because it was a way of expressing heart and love into the place that people loved, and when people were depressed about being in London after the war, kind of cheered them up a bit to be actually feel like they were patriotic and actually loved where they lived. So I think it's a lovely thing to write a song about somewhere that you live, because it makes you feel closer to it in some ways.
Some of the language in the song really is very South London, isn't it? Particularly South London.
Yes.
They don't use words anymore like nifty, really, do they?
No, and a lot of that would have been inspired at the time by listening to somebody like Ian Dury, for instance, you know, who was a master at his craft. And, you know, his gift with the English language is far superior to mine. And, you know, to absolutely absorb myself in what he would have said would have been an education in itself. So Squeeze used to hang out in local pubs and with villains. I mean, we knew quite a lot of villains, and we were courted by villains when we were successful in those days because they wanted to come to the Top of the Pops, so they come to see us play. We get locked into pubs after 11 o'clock and drink tequila sunrises until 5 o'clock in the morning and hang out with all these very dodgy monkeys. And, you know, so a lot of the language that I was writing at, on the Call for Cats album in particular came from those sort of people.
Up the Junction, you know, sums up very visual images, but actually it's to do with smell as well, isn't it? And I just winding down the window of the cab here. It's raining, but you get a... there is a slight kind of industrial tinge to the aroma, you know what I mean?
There is. It's a sort of metallic smell, if you like, in this part of London, I would have said. However, in further south across London, where I was brought up, there was the smell of custard creams being made at the Peak Freen's biscuit factory, which I could smell at school. And then of an evening, I could smell dog biscuits being baked down on the Greenwich Peninsula. And my dad worked at the gasworks, and I always remember him coming home smelling of gas and coke being burnt and smelted, or whatever it was called. So there was always lots of smells around London. I don't smell so much these days. It's more sort of coffee and croissants.
And that is just the whiff that you can pick up here in this bright, shiny cafe area cum atrium of Clapham Junction, from where you can see, just across a busy road, the ornate Victorian Clapham Grand, one of our last surviving music halls. Now, Clapham is actually a mile away, but both Grand and Junction use the C word, not the B word, Battersea, their correct postal address, because when the station was built, Battersea wasn't as posh as it is now, and the railway companies wanted better brand associations. Indeed, Battersea's less salubrious past was echoed last month when rioters smashed shops in the area. The Grand has since hosted community events to raise money for victims of the looting, and it was by its historic stage that I spoke to Michael Collins, author of the book The Likes of Us, about the working class history of this part of London.
It's kind of where beer meets architecture, isn't it? It smells of pubs, but it looks like the inside possibly of Buckingham Palace.
I think this is the thing about these musicals. They were, in their own way, they were kind of like churches are. People would come in and they see these ornate buildings and all these fantastic plush seats. It's good to see you've still got that element in a place like the Grand.
East is east and west is west. We can no more walk the Mayfair way than they can walk the Lambeth way. You don't understand. Lambeth, you've never seen. The skies ain't blue, the grass ain't green. We haven't got the Mayfair touch, but that don't matter.
What is it about the song, do you think, Up the Junction, that so captures that era and these surroundings here in Clapham Junction and Battersea?
I think it captures a mood, for one thing. It comes out of this idea of the kitchen sink, the whole slice of life thing that was going on in the 60s, which most people think in terms of the north. When you think Up the Junction, you think entirely in terms of the south, and there's very little things that capture that. And I think within the song, the way the song is sung, and also the lyrics, the rhymes, and the phrasing feels very London, and it's almost kind of simplistic in its rhyme to some extent. It reminds me of musical in that way. And it reminds me of musical in another way as well, because musical came out of pubs, and it was the first musical genre in the way that actually took the working class experience and put it in song in a voice that was recognisable. And I think you find that in the song itself. There's humour in it, but also it's very domestic. It's a pop song that's very much about a very domestic experience. And that seems to me quite unusual for that time and quite new.
In the song Up the Junction, the story is about a couple who are not very well off in the 70s. Is it a song about that decade, though, do you think?
I tend to think that it's almost a reminiscence. It's almost singing about a decade and a couple from another period. It's still relevant to the 70s, but because it came out at the end of the 70s and things had changed and things were going to change in a big way in the 1980s, I tend to think it's very much putting the spotlight on a couple from another period, from probably the 60s within an area like this. By the end of the 70s and by the 80s, even if people didn't move out of this area, even if there wasn't the social mobility for everyone, there was the idea of it, or they did witness their peers moving into other areas. And that wasn't the case in the 60s. I think everyone felt very much within these areas. A younger generation would have felt quite landlocked, as their grandparents had been. But that was an experience that they enjoyed. I wouldn't say that was a completely terrible experience. I mean, they were living in an area that seemed very run down and didn't have that many amenities, but clearly there was a culture at the heart of that that people would have recognised and drawn something from.
In those days, the main theatres of that culture were pubs. Proper locals, that is, not latte-peddling, faro and ball-painted chain jobs. One such pub is depicted in Chris Difford's lyric, and a real one can still be found right next door to Clapham Junction. In the song...
Yeah.
The pub, The Railway Arms, features very conspicuously.
Yeah.
And although this pub is called the Windsor Castle, it feels to me very much like the Railway Arms. Here we go.
Okay.
Come in, come out of the rain. If there was a kind of join up the dots, formulaic South London pub, this kind of would be it, wouldn't it? I mean, panelling.
Look at it, wood panelling. It's got a Noel Edmonds fruit machine, which I think is hysterically brilliant.
Man with dog.
Man with dog, lovely dog too. All the right drinks on the bar, as far as I can tell. Yeah, it's very much a up the junction kind of pub, I would have said.
Yeah,
it's even got that funny old clock on the wall.
We couldn't have arranged this better, really, could we?
No,
and this is like
brilliant.
Up the junction made real.
Oh, I recognise that riff.
Right on cue. I think that's Ian, the landlord, paying his homage to you. Ah. Can you name that tune? Now, have you ever sat in a place that you've written a song about and listened to that song in the place you wrote it about?
I have been in restaurants in the past where this song has come on, and it's been a source of muse for me. A great big grin comes out over my face. I feel very happy when I hear it.
But ever in Clapham Junction, though?
Well,
have you ever heard this in Clapham Junction?
No, this is a first. It's a golden moment. You know, I'm semi-erect.
This is the sort of pub you would never want to refurbish.
Oh, Ian.
I want you to meet somebody. This is Chris Difford.
Chris, very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you too. You're
welcome
right
to the Windsor Castle.
It's lovely, isn't it? On this kind of fine summer's day.
Fine, wonderful summer's day where we don't need any sunshine whatsoever.
If I look at the faces in this pub, there's a song in every face.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I could come and sit in here and write a whole album.
Absolutely.
Do Maybe
so.
I will.
Do so. Just yeah. We'll save you a corner. What's in the song and what's happened with my life resonates massively.
Really? In what way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whilst I didn't meet a girl from Clapham, I lived in Clapham. To me, the song is all about that movement from late teens to adulthood where everything could go either fantastically well or horribly wrong. I think my life sort of fell a little bit in the middle of that. And it is, you know, one of those sort of massive post-punk songs that actually has some meaning to it, you know. And I think anyone of my age, which I am, I'm 48, will listen to that again and say, actually, yeah, part of my life is within that song.
Something of a whole generation of ordinary Battersea lives was also captured in a book of the same name by Nell Dunn. Up the Junction was published in 1963 and inspired a film and a BBC play directed by Ken Loach. Both book and song have domesticity, and more specifically, pregnancy, as a theme. How aware were you when you wrote Up the Junction of the Wednesday night play of the same name?
The Wednesday plays were very dominant in my house. My parents used to watch it. They were half an hour plays, which were absolutely genius, written all by people like Tom Stoppard. I think Mike Lee may have written one. And that kind of domestic world was what I was brought up in. You know, my hands were in the dishwater more than they were in the bath water. And I was cleaning out my mum's fireplace more than I was cleaning out my toy cupboard. So, you know, domesticity to me was everything.
Yeah.
So I'm a very tidy kind of guy.
When you were writing it, were you writing about yourself or your mum and dad's generation?
Well, neither really. I was writing more about my brother's generation, who's a bit older than me. So it would have fallen right in the 60s because that's when he had his teenage years. So it would have been around that time. And he was a mod, you know, he had a scooter and he liked the small faces and he did all of that stuff that mods used to do.
And did he move into a basement with thoughts of his engagement?
He probably did, yes, with a woman called Sandra Wormley.
Up the Junction was about something so ordinary it was extraordinary for its time. Or so thinks music journalist David Quantick.
I mean, yeah, everyone talked about punk and new wave like it ruled the world, but mostly the charts were full of pop songs like the old days, the Doolies and disco and stuff like that. Good time. And most pop music, as you know, is sort of aspirational. It's about hopes and dreams. This record said, life is awful, you'll get someone pregnant, she'll hate you, your life will smell of baby's urine and you'll become a drunk. It was a realistic song, and I think that's why people identified with it. It was a little soap opera, kitchen sink drama. There are certain things that really mark a song as 60s, which would be, in this case, pregnancy, out of wedlock, illegitimacy and bastards, because the real crucial bits of drama of that period, Kathy Come Home, the TV drama, A Taste of Honey, the record that Morrissey based his life on, Up the Junction itself, they're almost all based on pregnancy out of wedlock. Generally, they're from the woman's point of view. This song is different in the sense that it's about a man's life being ruined by pregnancy and also marriage, but not in a weird kind of Les Dawson, oh no, they've got me now kind of way.
Do you think the lyrics to Up the Junction qualify as poetry?
Yes, I do, because they're quite odd. There's a very strange rhyme scheme. It's beautifully thought out. It's almost a deliberate parody of poetry in that sense, to be pretentious. But the line, 15 minutes later, I took her to an incubator while medically dangerous, is a brilliant couplet. And it almost doesn't matter about the girl and the baby and the nappies. It's just basically, here I am, I'm stuffed. It's a brilliant country and western song. It's not a bad poem either. They should teach it in schools and then hit the kids afterwards to make sure they were listening.
And if you've listened enough times, you may have spotted something else. Unusually, the song's title appears for the first and only time in the very last line, which is, and so it's my assumption, I'm really at the junction. A lyrical trick repeated only, as far as I know, by Virginia Plain, by Roxy Music. The junction in question, the punchline of this song about a 60s couple, also had its moment in the art world during that pivotal decade. Ernst Eisenmeier is an Austrian émigré who fled Europe during the war, and his portrait of the station from 1961 shows people waiting stoically for trains, just as they do now. Fran Lloyd, Professor of Art History at Kingston University, joined me on Platform 10.
There's a train right in front of us, about 8 carriages long, but you can still see the bare bones of the painting in what we see in front of us, can't you?
Yes, and it's a reminder, as this view of the station is, of that particular moment in the late 50s, early 60s, where you start to see artists looking at places that are part of the city, part of the metropolis, and they're places of ordinariness, everydayness, and of great interest, because they're about moving, they're about being part of the city. It's not a rural idyll, you know, the interwar, post-war English quality. This is raw city, and the marks show that sense of the excitement of the city that begins to have a terrific interest for writers and painters like Eisenmeier in the late 1950s, early 1960s.
The Eisenmeier painting celebrates Clapham Junction, as you say. You've got another picture here, which kind of does the opposite, doesn't it? Tell me about it.
Right, so this is Carol Waite's Clapham Junction, 1978, in the Tate Gallery, oil painting again. But this is desolate Clapham Junction. This is boarded up, old entrance to Clapham Junction. Youths been chased off by security guards. This is Clapham Junction of the violence that it was associated with in the 70s.
Is it too pat to say that the story of Clapham Junction is the story of Britain? Because this rather desolate, hopeless depiction that we have in front of us, 79, was when Britain was terribly depressed and in the doldrum, as Clapham Junction was. But since then, both Clapham Junction and Britain have changed hugely.
Completely. And one only has to look at the surrounding area and even at the vistas that we see from here on the station and how different they are. We now, it's a very different community.
We're just walking through the underground main concourse at Clapham Junction to find the spot where Chris is going to play at the junction. At the junction. For the first time. Just above platform 10, this is the bit where the public kind of
mingle and walk before they go down to the platforms. How does this grab you?
Well, I'm very nervous.
Are you?
I've never played on a railway station before, in front of people, and it's the first time for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the train now arriving at platform 10 is up the junction. This is a Radio 4 service for the programme A Lyrical Journey, and by Chris Diffin.
I never thought it would happen when me and the girl from Clapham out on a windy common. That night I ain't forgotten when she dealt out the rations, the summer of the passion. I said, you are a lady. Perhaps she said, I may be. We moved into a basement with thoughts of our engagement. We stayed in by the telly, although the room was smelly. We spent our time just kissing, the railway arms are missing. Love that got us hooked up, and all our time it took up.
Hannah, you're 17, yeah? And you've come down from Liverpool for the day with your dad, Mark. What does this song mean to you?
Right from the opening melody all the way through, the lyrics are just fantastic and it draws you in more and more as it goes along.
That was the first single that we gave to Hannah. That was her first ever record.
I walked on through the winter, the weather brass and bitter. I put away a tenner, we tweaked to make it better. And when the time was ready, we had to sell the telly. They've evenings by the fire, with little kicks inside her. Morning at 4:50, I took a rather nifty out to an incubator. With 30 minutes later, she gave birth to a daughter. Within a year of Walker, she looked just like a mother. If there could be another.
What was it like when he started up?
It's just that feeling in your stomach, you can't really explain it, but because you listen to it for so long, you know what the song is immediately. And you know what's coming, and even though you know how it's going to end and it's sad and horrible, you're still so looking forward to hearing it. When you come to the actual place it was written and you see all these places around here, like the Clapham Common, it just brings it really to life.
Alone here in the kitchen, I feel there's something missing. I feel for some forgiveness, but begging's not my business. And she won't write a letter, or I always tell her. And so it's my assumption, I'm really at the junction. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Up the Junction, live on a railway station, not very far from you. Tune in next week for songs about religion and anthropology.
Final question. The guy in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to him? Where is he now?
Where is he now? Well, I think if you listen to my next solo album, you will hear where he ended up.
Which is?
In Brighton.
In Brighton?
Yeah.
He moves to Brighton?
He moves to Brighton.
On that train?
On that train, just leaving now, platform 10.
And is he okay?
He's great. He's in recovery. It's lovely. He's going to AA meetings. He's fabulous.
Lyrical Journey was presented by Jonathan Maitland and produced in Manchester by Faith Lawrence. And Mike Lee, whom Chris mentioned in the programme, features on tonight's Front Row here on Radio 4.